would just bow your heads, we'll open with a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name, I just pray, Lord, that today you would anoint me with your Spirit to proclaim your truth, so that these people would not be wasting their time today, but that your truth would be proclaimed. And I pray, Lord, that we would see that Christianity is not intolerant, but just it is truth. It proclaims the one way, the one truth that can set us free. And so I just thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die in our place. We know that you could have remained just and just allowed us to get what we deserve, the eternal flames of hell. But instead, you chose to sacrifice your Son in our place. And we are forever grateful. Lord, I just pray that you would open hearts and minds, including my own, to receive truth from your Word, and you would empower us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I titled this message, One Way to Heaven. Now, I don't know how it's going to work with the PowerPoint. Got Joel running it back there, but my notes are not exactly in the right order. I kind of, sometimes I'll over-prepare and kind of skip around and things of that sort. So I don't know how it's going to turn out. So just in case, as a contingency plan, I gave a copy of the notes to somebody who promised to get them to the secretary, and they'll probably make copies for those who need it. Just in case what's up there is not consistent with what I'm saying here, because I don't know. I have no idea. This is the 21st century, and I'm just getting into the 20th century as far as technology goes. So I just want to apologize up front and then let you know that it's not any mistake up there is not going to be Joel's fault. It's just there's no real order. I'm just going to go as I feel led by the Spirit, and so we might be skipping all over the place here. We talked about in the Sunday school class the fact that there is a new tolerance out there, an idea, the traditional tolerance brought with it the idea that you respected other people's views. They may believe that their religion leads to heaven, you may believe salvation is only through Jesus, and you respected one another. You had the freedom of religion, the freedom of speech. Well, the new tolerance, though, says that you cannot be intolerant. If you're intolerant, you're getting in the way. The new tolerance is the dogmatic. They claim that they're not dogmatic about anything. Yet it's the dogmatic and intolerant belief that all religions lead to God and that all beliefs are equally true and all behavior is equally good. So in other words, if you say that you believe salvation is only through Jesus, automatically you are intolerant and you're a bigot, and there's all sorts of names that you could be called. This has led to ideas such as universalism, the idea that everybody either is or will be saved. Pluralism, the belief that all religions lead to God. And now even in the evangelical church, this is why I call myself a conservative evangelical, because now we have many evangelicals that are pushing the limits on what exactly a Bible-believing Christian can be, but there's the inclusivist position that says, yes, salvation comes only through Jesus, but many are saved by Jesus who don't believe in Him. They're saved by Him, they just don't know it. And so if you seek God with all your heart, or if you love God with everything you got and love your neighbor as yourself, and you haven't heard the gospel message, you don't necessarily have to believe in Jesus to be saved. Now, this is a new teaching in the church. The traditional view is what we call today exclusivism. The view that salvation not only comes through Jesus, but we receive it through faith in Jesus. I tell my students at King's West that the Bible teaches that salvation is by God's grace alone. Okay? It's something that we cannot earn. It's by God's grace alone. We receive it through faith alone. Okay, not faith plus works. but through faith alone, through trusting in Jesus alone for salvation. So salvation is by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And there's a lot of objections to this. This is not politically correct today. The idea to say that there's salvation only through Jesus, supposedly we're intolerant now when we say that. Now keep in mind what is going on here. It's like you and your tolerant friend who believes that all religions are lead to God. It's like the two of you are sitting at the edge of a cliff. Okay? You're sitting down and you're facing this way, the cliff's behind you, and you have a person who's blindfolded is walking towards the edge of the cliff. Okay? Because you walk up to that person and try to take the blindfold off their eyes and try to warn them that they're going off a cliff, somehow you are intolerant. That to be tolerant, we're supposed to just keep our mouth shut and let each person believe what they want. And if they're walking towards the edge of a cliff, so be it. Okay? And, you know, Christianity has often been defined as one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. That's not intolerant. Christianity is the good news, the gospel. That's what gospel means, is good news. We're proclaiming to people the good news that you can be saved through Jesus. That's good news. That's not being intolerant. We're just going out there. We want to see other people in heaven with us. Let me read to you a little bit of an email that I got from a former student. It's a girl that I taught her Bible at King's West in 8th grade, 9th grade, and 10th grade. And then her family moved, and she has to go to a public school for this past year, actually half a year there. And she said, "I really miss your classes. I'm at such and such a high school. I don't even know why she withhold the high school from me, because everybody knows it's a hotbed for New Age type thinking. But she's at such and such a high school this year, and I'm having quite a different educational experience. It has been interesting to be taught from a liberal, worldly perspective and to witness the reactions of my fellow classmates. However, I do struggle with the students' willingness to follow the guidance of their teachers and forsake strict religion to form their own collection of beliefs based on multiple religions and philosophies. The way in which the class material has been laid out leads the students to logically conclude that no one philosophy is right, and therefore the individual should pick and choose elements from each to reflect their beliefs. I am in need of some guidance on how to argue against the idea that a personalized, eclectic belief system will lead to inner peace and a better, wiser world." Okay? That's the kind of stuff that our kids are getting hit with nowadays. See, it's assumed, with this new tolerance, it is assumed that all religions lead to God. There's no debate is needed. No debate will even be allowed for that matter. Okay? I mean, and this is something too. You would expect this on the liberal side of the issue. Those who are liberal theologically or often liberal politically, whatever it may be. But there are two Irish Roman Catholics that come to mind that are on the Fox News Network. One is Hannity and one is Bill O'Reilly. And usually they take the side that most Christians would agree with. Yet, when Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson, when they were on either one of those programs after 9/11, okay, when either Jerry Falwell or Pat Robertson stated that they believe that salvation is only through faith in Jesus, both Bill O'Reilly and Hannity, Sean Hannity, on, you know, their own different programs, said, "Well, don't you think that's a bit intolerant? Don't you think your religious views are very similar to Osama bin Laden?" Okay? Now, what's wrong with this picture? How many innocent people have Pat Robertson or Jerry Falwell killed? Okay? And these guys have been... Falwell has been married to the same woman for his entire life, entire adult life, and the same with Pat Robertson. They don't have a harem like bin Laden. They don't slaughter innocent people who disagree with them like bin Laden. But all of a sudden, see, we're misdiagnosing the problem right now. We're acting like the problem is, if you believe only your religion saves, automatically, it's that idea, that concept, that leads to wars and innocent bloodshed. No, there's a vast difference between saying only true believers in Jesus will be saved. There's a vast difference between saying that and saying only adherents of my religion will be saved, therefore if you won't convert, we're going to slaughter you and slaughter your children. But at this particular time, with the new tolerance, we have blinders on. We are no longer seeing that distinction. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, well, this is weird. I mean, obviously, Christians are nice people. Well, yeah, we're Christians, so we know Christians, are nice people. But the fact of the matter, the early Christians were nice people. But they were arrested for treason, for meeting in secret, and conspiring against the government. Well, sure, they were meeting in secret, because if they met out in the open, it'd be easier to catch them and throw them in prison. They were charged with being cannibals and charged with gross sexual immorality, as if the Roman Empire really cared about, you know, keeping the culture moral, okay? So, but whatever the case, and being cannibals, it was just the Lord's Supper, but did the government officials, did they really believe that was true about Christians? No. It was anti-Christian propaganda, but there is a stereotyping that is going on right now. Today, we can really understand what Paul meant when he said that I am not ashamed of the gospel message, because it's the power to save. Romans 16, because it's becoming very easy to be ashamed of the gospel message. Okay? It's almost like, you know, gee, should I share my faith with somebody else? They'll think I'm a bigot. They'll think I'm intolerant. Well, don't be ashamed. The gospel message is the only way your neighbors can be saved. Now, we'll just look at just a few verses here. Acts 4:12. Now, we all know John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Okay? That's a very exclusive statement. Only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus. Acts 4:12 reads as follows, there is salvation, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Okay? No other name. There's no other way to be saved except through Jesus. You know, if that is true, okay, then the nicest thing you can do is to share that with others. The idea that we're supposed to just let our neighbors believe, no, if you're a Buddhist, that's okay for you, and if you're a Muslim, that's okay for you. No, we've got to, in love, speak the truth. We must speak the truth in love and proclaim the truth of God's salvation message. Now, many people will argue, well, what about those who never heard the gospel message? Okay? In John chapter 12, Jesus said that if he be lifted up, if he be crucified, he will draw all men unto himself. Okay? So Jesus of Nazareth claimed that if he would die on the cross for our sins, he would draw all people to himself. Now, he gives us free will. We could say no to him. But John 6, chapter 16, verses 7 to 11, Jesus is using the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, is drawing all people to himself. We could play tug of war with God till the day we die. We could blaspheme the Holy Spirit, take out a machete, and sever that rope, okay, so that we'll never consider Jesus for the rest of our lives. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord Jesus is drawing us to himself. Now, Jesus is the light of the world. I believe there are lesser lights that the Apostle Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 32, the Apostle Paul says that even though we have not seen the invisible God, we see the visible work of his hands. Okay? We suppress that truth. Okay? But God reveals himself to us, his existence and his power to us through his creation. Okay? Through conscience, Romans 2, verses 14 and 15, even Gentiles who do not have God's laws written on tablets of stone have God's laws written upon their hearts. Okay? So deep down inside, we have a moral conscience. We know right from wrong. We know that we feel guilty a lot because we know we've sinned against God. So I believe that if a person anywhere on the planet Earth, because our God sits enthroned, because He is in control, if a person anywhere on the planet Earth would seek God and would say, well, I acknowledge that through creation, I know there must be a Creator. But I know through my conscience that I am a sinner. I have sinned against this all-holy God. So if I'm going to be saved, I can't do it myself. I need to look to this God for the way of salvation. I believe if a person will do that, will accept the lesser lights of creation and conscience, then God will get the greater light to them, the greatest light, the Lord Jesus. He usually does that through missionaries, putting that desire within the hearts of missionaries to proclaim the truth to them. Psalm 145, 18 and 19 says, tells us that the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He will hear to the desire and He will deliver them. Okay? So, I believe that those who haven't heard the gospel message, if they die without hearing it, that's probably just evidence that they never would have accepted Christ had the gospel message been preached to them. Our God sits enthroned. He's able to get the gospel message to all people. Now, what I want us to look at is Christianity makes this claim that salvation is only through Jesus. And I want us to look at evidence for the truth of the Christian faith. So, proving the truth of the Christian faith. Okay? There are several areas, and you know, I've given entire courses and lectures on some of these points, so we can just rush through them. But number one, there's evidence for God's existence. Okay? This refutes atheism, and contrary to popular belief, it refutes traditional Buddhism. Buddha himself was agnostic about God's existence. He wasn't even sure if God existed. He didn't even think it was a relevant issue. Okay? Many Buddhists today, though, are pantheists. They believe in an impersonal God that is the universe. And so, number two, we can provide evidence for a personal God. By the way, evidence for God's existence could be evidence from creation that the universe had a beginning. Whatever had a beginning needs a cause. Okay? So, God brought the universe into existence. The intelligent design, the complexity in our universe shows us that there had to be an intelligent designer. Okay? Entire books have been written on this subject. When you examine the cause of the universe, you find that the cause of the universe must be an intelligent being and a moral being, which tells us that God must be a personal God, not the impersonal force of Hinduism, the impersonal force of the New Age movement, or the impersonal force of many Buddhist groups. Okay? So there is evidence for the existence not only of God, but that He is a personal God. And then when we examine the claims of Christ and the life of Christ, we find that Jesus fulfilled numerous Old Testament prophecies and types. I mean, anybody can show up on the scene like Muhammad and say, I am a prophet of God. Okay? And if you're persuasive, you're going to lead some people in your direction. Okay? You add a sword to that persuasiveness, and your church can grow in leaps and bounds. But here Jesus shows up on the scene, and He fulfilled hundreds, literally hundreds of Old Testament prophecies and types found in the Old Testament. For instance, the animal sacrifices. Did the bloodshed of animals ever take away sin? No. So what point was God trying to get across to the Jews? That someday, perfect Lamb of God would come and would die on the cross for our sins. Historical evidence for the true Jesus of the Bible, which refutes Judaism and Islam, showing that Jesus was more than a great prophet, as the Muslims say, and was more than just a man, as Orthodox Jews would say. But evidence for Jesus' resurrection from the dead, for His claims to be God, His claims to be Savior. And we could provide enormous evidence for that. But what I want to key on are 3 points here. One is that the Christian God is more loving. Okay? Here we are being called intolerant, yet the Christian God is more loving than the gods of any other religions. The Christian God is more just. and the superiority of salvation by grace. Now, I want to cover this in opposite order. I'm sure we all know Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. We are saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Jesus told the apostles asked him, how can man be saved? Jesus said, this is impossible for man, but all things are possible with God. Okay? Jesus is basically saying the finite, limited man cannot reach the infinite, perfect, holy God on his own. If the finite, limited man is going to be saved, it's going to have to be a free gift of God. It's going to have to be by God's grace. Okay? Now, as far as I'm concerned, just as a slow runner is probably not going to beat a fast runner, a limited being is never going to reach an unlimited being on its own. It's going to have to be the work of the unlimited being. And so I think the whole concept of salvation by grace alone shows Christianity to be superior to that of the other world's religions. In fact, you can separate Christianity and the world's religions by salvation by God's grace, that's Christianity, versus salvation by works, that's all the other world's religions. You could also separate it by Jesus. The world religions, their view of Jesus is much lower than the Christian view that Jesus is God, the Son, become a man. But the Christian God is also more just. Romans 3, 24 through 26 basically tell us that by God the Father having His Son sacrificed on the cross, it shows us how just God is. You see, God is so just. He is so holy and so just and so righteous that He cannot forgive sin unless it's been paid for in full. In other words, there was no other way for God to save us except by sacrificing His Son in our place. All the other world's religions, apparently, either sin is an illusion like Hinduism and the New Age movement, and then what do you do with Hitler? Or God just takes sin and sweeps it under the rug and just kind of overlooks it. But then He's not just. And so the Christian God is so just, there was no other way for us to be saved except for Him to slaughter His Son in our place. But I want to close with this. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. The Christian God is more loving. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. And that tells us, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay? You see, name for me one world religion, one major world religion where their God loved us so much, loved Phil Fernandez so much that He was willing to slaughter His only Son in His place. Only Christianity. Only Christianity. We think about, oh, that's neat. God loves us. He sacrificed His Son in our place. That is so neat. Think about what's being said there. Okay? I think of my daughter. When she was a little girl, sometimes I'd wake up two or three times a night and just go to her bedroom and open the door and just look at her just to make sure her chest was moving, just to make sure she was breathing. Because I love her. That's my daughter. And, you know, I have all these little fears, oh, something's going to happen to her, this and that. But now she's grown up and she's got a son. Now it's my grandson. Three or four times a night, if he's staying over the house, I got to look at his chest and I got to make sure the chest is moving up and down. Let me tell you, you could ask my wife, I'm not pulling your leg or anything. With my daughter and my grandson, they sleep on their backs, they get white as ghosts. There's like almost zero movement. So I'm talking a 20-minute ordeal of finally figuring out, oh yeah, the chest is moving. Okay. But there was a father who had a son. The son was born and the father was a happy father. And the father loved the son. And I'm sure the father would watch over the son at night and make sure the son's heart was beating. The father's only son precious in the Father's sight. Loved the Son, protected the Son. And then the Son grew up. And so the Son knew that he was loved by the Father and couldn't understand it. So that when he was dying, the Son cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken? Father, what are you letting, why are you letting me go through this? Keep in mind, when the Scripture says that Jesus is the Father's only begotten Son, think what it's like. Would you be willing to sacrifice your only son, your only child, for someone else? I don't know about you, but I wouldn't. But the God of the Bible, is the God of Christianity intolerant? No. The God of the Bible is more loving than any other God. He loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his only begotten son in our place. So we can say with Paul that we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is the power of God to save. And Lord knows we need to be saved, and our neighbors need to be saved.